Praise the Lord. It is good to be here tonight. I will say, it might be raining outside and God knows what else, but praise the Lord, we can gather here in this place and worship the Lord. And what a beautiful, wonderful thing that is. You know, He is good. And, you know, these tests, these trials that we go through, it just seems like the Lord uses them to get us to a deeper place with Him, so we'll have more faith. You know, it's an exercise of faith quite often, these obstacles that come upon us. But we do know the one who can take us through, the one who makes a way. Oh yes, the one who has the answers, regardless of what it is that we are seeking. And I'm so thankful, you know, all these circumstances that come upon us. I know I did have a very interesting experience this last Saturday, and I might just relate it right now here for a few minutes. I had gone to Sun Prairie to get some groceries at the big grocery store that we like, Woodman's. They have good prices and nice organics and a lot of other things. So we go there from time to time, but here I was alone, and had been in the store and bought some things and had put it in the back seat of the car and all of that, and just paused a few minutes before I took off. I think I ate a meat stick or something and just kind of waited a few moments there. And it was a good thing I did, because while I paused, lo and behold, the people who parked next to me came back, and they had noticed, I suppose, when they were going into the store, that here I was parked, and I, unknown to me, I had a great big bulge in my right passenger side tire. And God knows how long I'd had it, but anyway, they got my attention, and they told me, you know, we noticed that you have a bulge in that tire, and we are afraid that it could explode any time. And oh, so yes, I get out and I look at it, and yes, there it is. Oh, joy, you know. But praise the Lord, I just sat there and I thank God, because I had my cell phone with me. I don't always have my cell phone with me, but I went back into the house to get it that day. And lo and behold, there it was. It was charged and all those good things, and I had AAA, so I could make a phone call and get some assistance with that tire. So praise the Lord. The Lord had worked all of that out, and I marveled, because if I would have left, you know, right after I put the groceries in the car, you know, these people wouldn't have been there. I would have been going down the highway with this bulge in my tire, and God knows, maybe it would have exploded. It was entirely possible. So anyway, AAA came and fixed my tire, and well, they couldn't really fix my tire. Let's say they took my tire off and they put the spare one on. They said the tire was really not fixable. So anyway, now I have the spare tire on, and the fellow there with the AAA does tell me, I don't think you should go very far on this spare. He says it's just not really meant for, you know, higher speeds or, you know, long distances. So now I'm thinking again, you know, well, I'm glad he said that, you know, thank the Lord. You know, now what do I do? It was late Saturday afternoon, and now what do I do, God? You know, and all I can think to do is drive a couple miles to get to the Subaru dealership where I bought my car and see if the garage is open. I wasn't too sure that it was, but I thought, well, that's all I can think to do at the moment. So I went those few miles to the garage and parked in front of the garage. Well, it didn't open, and I decided, yeah, I think they must be closed. And so I went to the front of the building and parked, and thank God, there was somebody inside, and he saw me and came out, and he asked if anything was wrong and if he could help me. And, you know, thank God they were able to take me into the Subaru place, and you know, they were able to give me a loaner car and tell me that they would look at my car on Monday and find replacement tires for that which was needed. And, you know, I don't know what it sounds like to everybody else, but all I knew is it was just thing after thing after thing that the Lord did for me. And, you know, if it wasn't for Him, things could have been so different. And I just thank God He was able to get me home safely and no problems. Had a new car to drive, and everything had worked out in spite of the fact that the garage was closed. And, you know, it wasn't real likely that I could get assistance at that moment. But I thank God how He did that. I know I got home and I was just at the piano playing the piano and singing, and I just had a burst out in tears because I realized how God had helped me. Just all these little things, one after the other, that He had worked out before I could ever have known that there was going to be a problem. And even just, you know, bringing somebody there to, you know, alert me that I had a bulging tire, I had to thank God, because I guess I don't always look at my tires. And, you know, yet the Lord knew, and He knew the need, and He allowed these people to be there just at the right time. It was just everything just very precise and at the exact moment, and thing after thing that I needed assistance with. I can't help but wonder, you know, how wonderful our God is, because He knows the end from the beginning and all the little things that we go through in this life. And, you know, it is so true that our steps are ordained by God. And, you know, He knows how to help us. He knows how to keep us from danger and evil. And even when we look at the things that are coming upon this earth as we see that day of the Lord approaching, we know that our God is with us now, and He will be with us even until the end of the world. And, you know, there's nothing too hard for Him. He could do the most amazing, miraculous things. You know, He could put air in tires if that's necessary. And, you know, He can fix tires if it's necessary. Or He can use, you know, the help of individuals. But, you know, He knows how to do it. I just want to thank the Lord. You know, all these ordeals, all these crazy things that go on, we know the Lord is with us in spite of all the crises in this world. And I just want to thank the Lord again, because He is so merciful and how He makes a way for us. I'm so thankful that He has brought us to this place where we at one point could see our need to cry out to the living God and get right with Him. Because, oh yes, there is a moment in this world that is yet to come, that moment when we stand before Him and must give an account of our lives. And oh, thank the Lord, it is going to be so worth it. You know, I thought of how God helped me on Saturday, you know, step by step. But when we stand before God and realize how He's taken us through this world and how He got our attention. You know, the man who alerted me said it was actually this little boy that noticed first my bulging tire. Yeah, you know, it's just amazing how God does it, though. You know, it might be that tract that you give to somebody else, or those few words, or, you know, that invitation to church, or, you know, just the Lord working in them in such a way, maybe, you know, giving individual scripture, putting something in their heart, maybe a curiosity even about this church. Who knows how the Lord works in our heart? I know sometimes it's a discarded newsletter that people find. And, you know, the marvel of it, you know, it just happened. Somebody had thrown it out, but the right person found it. God put it all together. And I'm just so thankful. We serve a mighty God who knows all the details of our life even before they happen. And He knows how to help us. He knows how to call us. He knows how to make a way. And you know how grateful we are that He has alerted us so that we could fall at our knees and give our hearts to the Almighty One, to submit our lives to Him, and to get right with Him before this world is over. You know, you don't like surprises if they're bad ones. You know, it can be really hard when, you know, something happens that you were completely unaware of and it's really negative. But, you know, thanks be to God. He knows how to help us. And I thank God that He helped us to know that great need to repent and to be baptized in His name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord. We will be forever grateful and we stand before our God. Oh, yes, and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my Lord." Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for what you've done. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Oh, God, oh, Lord, your ways that are past finding out, Lord. Oh, God, your ways, oh, God, that man cannot really fully discern, Lord. But, oh, God, we thank you that you called us. And, oh, God, that you put us on that path that leads to eternal life. And, God, I pray that you'd help us here tonight. I pray, oh, God, that you'd help us, oh, Lord, to go forward, Lord. Oh, God, to hear thy voice, to discern thy voice. Oh, God, to discern these times that we live in, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us here tonight. Pray that you'd call us here tonight. I pray that you'd encourage us here tonight. God, I pray that you'd work in our hearts, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, for that one that yet has not surrendered his or her life to thee, Lord. And I pray that you would work in the name of Jesus. I pray that you would call in the name of Jesus. I pray that you'd use your word, oh God, and oh God, and that you would talk to us. Oh God, we give this service to you, Lord. We give this message to you, Lord. We ask that you would use it, oh God, and that thy will would be done, Lord. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, we ask. By the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to go into the Psalms at this point. We'll call this message, "He shall judge the world in righteousness." Praise the Lord. He shall judge the world in righteousness. Praise our God. Let's go to Psalms chapter 7 here to begin with. See what the Lord will show us here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's start with verse 6 here in Psalms 7. It says, "Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, and according to mine integrity that is in me." And then this cry comes forth in verse 9. "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordained his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." Praise the Lord. With that, I would just like to point out the very great contrast between the righteous and the enemies of God, and those that refuse to repent, that refuse to turn to God. You know, it's described in that 12th verse, that arrow, that sword, that, you know, is already made ready. It's already sharpened. It's already there. That bow is bent. The sword is sharpened. And it's made ready. That is God's forthcoming judgment. It's been prepared for those that turn not. Those that refuse to repent and give their lives to the Lord. But it's a wonderful thing when that is not your situation, when that is not your heart. You know, when you are not among those that do wickedly. Because surely, as the scripture reveals, God does try the hearts and the reins. But thank the Lord, He is with His people. Those that are upright in heart, God becomes our defense. The one who stands up for us. The one who is always with us. The one who makes a way. No matter what we're going through, if it's pain, if it's suffering, if it's illness, if it's, you know, a tire that went crazy. God knows how to help us. And we see how God feels here. There, that 11th verse helps us to realize that with the wicked, He's angry with them every day. With the righteous, He shows Himself merciful. He's there to help and to secure and to make a way. But with those that refuse, there is great anger with God. And I never want to fall into the hands of an angry God. I don't think you do either. I know you don't. I thank God again that we can praise Him according to His righteousness and sing praise to His name, the Lord, the Most High God. Oh, yes, that has made a way for us. Praise the Lord. But going from that scripture there in Psalm 7, I'd like to go to Psalms chapter 9 now. And this is the Psalm of David. And, you know, what we notice here is you know, it's a mix here. You know, he's going to talk about both sides, you know, the judgment of God and the mercy of God. The mercy that he has for his children. But the judgment that is forthcoming for those that do not fear Him and that, oh yes, refuse to turn their hearts to the living God. So here it begins with verse 1. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. Oh, I tell you what, you know, there are those times, you know, you start worshiping the Lord, you start singing His praises, and it just wells up inside when you think of the goodness of the Lord and all that He's done for us. Oh, that hallelujah that wells up within when we think and wonder and ponder, you know, oh, what He has done for us. And David here, the psalmist, was reflecting upon the Lord. And oh, yes, the goodness of the Lord, obviously, His marvelous works, the wonders of it all. And, you know, his praise of the Lord, he wanted to praise the Lord with all his heart, his whole heart, it tells us. Oh, yes, and just, you know, laying aside all the negative things, all the crazy things that try to come upon us, things that go wrong. You know, when you turn your mind around, it can be amazing what God will do. I know we had just another situation just recently that, you know, Jane was telling me about. And you know, we had kind of a tough week last week. And Jane went through some things, and Ann Stabbett through some things, and you know, there were some days that, you know, it wasn't possible to be at work and all that. But anyway, there was, you know, an individual that ordered some newsletters, quite a few of them, 100 to be exact, and you know, he didn't think his order had come in a timely manner, and he called us, and he was complaining, and, you know, just is saying kind of reckless things, and, you know, we didn't know what to think. We just thought, wow, this man must not know the Lord, you know, and it just, you know, it was rather disturbing, you know, to hear such a attitude going forth. Well, praise the Lord, we were able to get the newsletters out to him on Saturday. Jane was able to send them. And amazingly, we got another phone call from him, and Jane answered it. And you know, this time, it was really something, because the man's attitude, his whole attitude had changed. And he was very apologetic for the way he had felt formerly. And, you know, and it was just really touching. He kept on apologizing and saying, I wasn't very Christ-like, you know, when I was complaining and muttering and saying all those things. But, you know, I guess sometimes life is like that. Sometimes there are these circumstances that we don't understand. And you know, we get kind of in this negative mood and you know, it just doesn't go anywhere well at all when we get like that. And I can remember that, you know, after this little event here, and, you know, when I was told, you know, about the phone calls and everything that had been rather on the nasty side, I remember not feeling just real positive. But I know the Lord dealt with me, and, you know, it was like, you know, he said, no, you can't do anything with that negative spirit, you know. And, you know, I began to turn it all over to the Lord and just, you know, give it to God. And you know, that's what we do. You know, these things happen that we don't understand. You know, people that seem to clobber us at times, and or maybe it's, you know, something in our life, you know, a circumstance that, well, we certainly don't relish. But, you know, when you turn it over to the Lord, God begins to change things. And, you know, those attitudes really make a difference. And I don't know just all that was involved there with this gentleman that, you know, I made that call and those former calls. But, you know, God dealt with his heart, and God dealt with my heart too, you know, so that, you know, that negativeness would leave. And I like this here in this ninth psalm here, you know, that David begins it with praise and rejoicing with gladness, you know, singing praise to the name of the Lord, O Thou Most High. And again, I'm just saying these things to help us to realize how our attitudes reflect, you know, and how they can change us when we're negative and nasty. How can the Lord bless? But, you know, when we just let these things go and give them over to the Lord and, you know, think on the good things of God, things begin to change. The Lord knows how to do it. There's nothing too hard for Him. And sometimes those trials and those tests that we go through are, you know, it's the Lord trying to alert us and get a hold of us and, you know, help us to, you know, kind of see some things that need to change in our lives, some areas that are not quite right. Oh, how the Lord uses this. All these little things. God knows what we need very precisely. It goes on to say in verse 3 here in Psalms 9, when mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. And you know, indeed, when we think of this, it's again, you know, what a fearful thing it is going to be to fall into the hands of the living God and not have those sins taken care of. It's going to be a horrible moment, one that, you know, begins at that time and continues for eternity. And here, you know, regardless of how they might be treating us, and regardless of, you know, adverse attitudes and even persecution, that day of judgment is forthcoming. And here it is. It's just very true here. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. Oh, I tell you, when we stand before God, how can you look at a righteous God if there's sin in your life? It is so important, it is so needful, it's so absolutely essential that we give those sins over to God, that we turn from those ways and let the Lord take those sins and forgive us, make a new person out of us, turn us around while we yet have time, because yes, we're not going to be able to gaze into the eyes of a righteous God with sin in our lives. It tells us in verse 4, "For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right." And I'm going to say from the sound of this psalm that David is going through one of his things. You know, begins the psalm with praise and gladness and rejoicing, but you know, he had many enemies. And we have records of some of the circumstances in his life that truly went awry. But here, he's realizing that God is going to be with him. Those enemies that oppose him are going to fall. They're going to perish. And if one's heart is right, God's going to stand there with you to maintain your rightness, your cause when it's right. Because it says, "Thou sattest in the throne judging right." God's judgment will always be righteous. He always knows exactly what has happened, what has occurred. He knows the thought process and all the little other details. Nothing is hidden to him. So his judgment is always right. It's always righteous. And praise the Lord, you know, these things that seem to go very contrary, we give them to the Lord because God knows. He knows the end from the beginning. And even if things don't change while we're here on earth, oh, it's going to make a difference there at the very end. Because, oh yes, God is seated and God will judge it. He will take care of it. And truly, as the scripture reveals, "Vengeance is mine, saith God. I will repay." That's it. We turn it over to him, but it's all going to be according to his ways. He's going to make things right. His judgment will be precise. It will be exact. And it's his. So thank the Lord. All these little twists and turns in this life. Oh, yes. And I know, I speak with many of you on the phone and other times and know that there's so many twists in this life and so many times things happen that nobody can understand it. It honestly doesn't make sense. And, you know, yes, talked with a good friend just yesterday and the day before, and you know, a lot of times his loved ones, their own daughters, you know, that, you know, have come against her and opposed, in opposition. But thank the Lord, we can give it over to the Lord because he will maintain our right and our cause. And he knows how to deal with the hearts of those that oppose us. And thank God for it. Amen. It says in verse 5, "Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever." Oh yes, and he's speaking of the end overview thing here at the end of the world when, you know, it's all clear and known and, you know, brought out. O thou enemy, destructions are come to our perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. See, it's all going to come out. At the end, it's all going to be revealed. You know, there's nothing that will be hidden. It's all going to come out. You can't have secrets from God. No matter how hard you might try, He knows the hearts. He knows the thought process. He knows every detail. He's seen us since the time we were in the womb and, oh, until the moment we die. And yes, those that oppose the living God, oh, it's all going to come to a perpetual end. They're doings, you know, their cunning, all their devices, all their wickedness, you know, the things that they destroyed, the things that they hated. It's all going to perish. But in contrast to that, the Lord shall endure forever, and He hath prepared His throne for judgment. You know, there's no getting out of it. You know, you can't be too smart or too beautiful or, you know, too cunning or anything to get out of that judgment seat of Christ. It's inevitable. 2 Corinthians, that fifth chapter, tells us very clearly that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That day of an accounting, when we give an account of the deeds that were done in this lifetime. It tells us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. As it says in verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Oh, we know that that day of judgment is forthcoming. And we know that all are going to have to appear before the living God. All are going to have to stand before God and give an account of the things, the deeds that were done in this body. And how we want to be right with God. Oh, yes, we know that, you know, you're either going to be right or you're going to be wrong. You're either going to be a sheep or you're going to be a goat. It's, you know, the right hand or the left hand. There's going to be no gray area. There's going to be no in-betweens at all. And we know the terror of God. We know that, oh, it's going to be a fearful, horrendous thing to stand before a living God and not be right with Him. So therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Oh yes, oh, that's why we go out to the highways and byways. Oh yes, that's why we go to those that we meet to try to help them to get right with the living God. For we all have that day. We all have that appointment. And there's no escape. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for those deeds that were done while we yet lived. And that's the way it is. Amen. Back here in Psalms 9, verse 8, it tells us, and He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Again, as we said, it's going to happen. It's going to be according to His righteousness, His ways, what is declared in the Word of God. Man's philosophies won't matter at that time. You know what people have thought, what religions they have built up, what declarations they have made. If it's not according to God's Word, it's not going to stand. He is going to minister judgment to the people in uprightness, according to His precepts, according to His ways. And again, oh, it's going to be a very fearful thing to stand before that white throne and not be right with God. Oh, none of us want to do that. Oh, I believe people are going to try to flee. In fact, you know, it tells us in the 20th chapter of Revelation how it is when that great white throne is there. And we see Him that sits upon that throne. It says, "And I saw a great white throne," verse 11, Revelation 20, "and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them." That's how it's going to be. You know, if there's no place, if you're not right in God's sight, it's going to be like, oh, the most horrendous, terrible, dreadful moment you could ever imagine. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to the works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works." And again, there's no escape. There's no hiding. You know, there's no way to get out of this. It says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Oh, how we want to be right in the sight of God. Oh, how we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God at this time so that we will be exalted rather than humbled at that moment when we stand before Him. Oh, yes, we want to be right. Because, oh, I'll tell you what, there's going to be no remedy for sin at that moment. There's going to be no way out. It's the final judgment seat of Christ. And how we want to be right with the living God. Oh, it tells us in the 6th chapter of Revelation, oh yes, when those that are alive in this world, you know, at the time when He's pouring out that 6th seal, and all at once there's a great earthquake, the sun becomes black as sackcloth, the moon becomes as blood, and the stars of heaven begin to fall unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Oh, all at once, it's going to be over. All at once, that, you know, realization that time is going to be no more. It's going to end now. "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." Oh, that great shaking that happens, that great disturbance. Oh, yes, as the sun becomes as black as sackcloth of hair and the moon becomes as blood. Oh, this realization is, all of this is coming, oh, into play. "And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come." And this question that we all need to ponder, who shall be able to stand? "For the great day of His wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand?" Oh, I'll tell you, when that realization gets people and they have not prepared their hearts, they've not repented and turned to the living God and obeyed the commandments as they've been ordained, the command to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, to walk with the Lord. Oh, yes, the need to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. All of these things. Oh, yes, that realization when it's too late. Oh, trying to hide, trying to find a place of safety. Oh, rocks, mountains, fall on us. Hide us from the wrath of He that sitteth on the throne. But it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. For those that have not yielded to the Lord, given their lives over to the living God. But here in Psalms 9, verse 9, oh, and this is so beautiful for the people of God. It tells us the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Praise the Lord. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. Oh, praise the Lord. We have these promises. Oh, yes, we know that God is with His people. And even at times of great distress, great oppression, great trouble, the Lord has promised that He would be a refuge for His people, those that know His name. Oh, yes, those that put their trust in Him. Oh, yes, because Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. Oh, praise the Lord, how wonderful it is to know the living God. How wonderful it is, oh, yes, to have been able to bend the knee and surrender the heart. Get right with the living God. Oh, yes. To fear the Lord. To know that what He has declared will come to pass. Oh, yes. It's all coming upon this world. But praise the Lord. They that know thy name. Oh, yes. Those that have recognized that Jesus Christ is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the one that was to come, the one that came to save us from our sins. Oh, yes, we know His name. We put our trust in Him. Praise the Lord, for Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. Oh, yes, God has promised that He will be with us even until the end of the world. No matter what calamity, no matter what trouble, distress, oh, what is going on, whatever, all, the Lord has promised that He would be with us and not forsake us, never to forsake those that seek Him. So praise the Lord, it tells us, sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. Oh yes, as I've said, when we praise the Lord, we worship Him, things begin to happen. You know, in our own lives, in the lives of others, you know, all the needs, the petitions that we bring before the Lord. Oh, He's able to change. He's able, oh yes, to reconstruct lives, to call people out of darkness. Oh yes, to show them the way. Oh, to make Himself known, to answer our prayers, to give us those things that we have need of, to deliver us. Oh, yes, out of the bondage. Oh, first of all, of sin, and then out of all the other things. Oh, yes, that try to overwhelm us. Oh, it tells us in verse 12, when He maketh inquisition for blood, He remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. And I'll tell you what, that moment when He maketh inquisition for blood, all those things that were done in violence, those things, oh yes, that were done in hatred, the Lord has witnessed, the Lord has known. The Lord will make it right at that time of His judgment. You know, when we consider the story of Abel and Cain there from the fourth chapter of Genesis, we realize that when Cain became angry, he took that wrath out on his brother. The story that, yes, they were out in the field and Cain, obviously, the things that had developed in his heart, the things that had grown in his heart. Oh, yes, it might have started with just a little bit of leaven, so to speak, at the first. But, oh, yes, he let it grow until it became a terrible issue within. Obviously, it developed into a hatred for his brother. Abel's sacrifice had been accepted by God, and Cain's was rejected. Cain became very wroth because of that. You know, it tells us his countenance fell when God did not accept it. God had told him, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. There was something in his heart even then that caused God to reject that sacrifice. And instead of turning it over to God, he had that moment right then. You know, he could have given it over to the Lord. He could have said, oh God, I'm sorry. I want to get rid of this. That sin that has built up within me. I want to rid myself of it. But instead, he obviously let it build. He let it grow until it became a great big mountain. Oh yes. So that day when he and his brother were out in the field, and Cain rose up against his brother Abel, and he slew him. Oh, yes. And then he must have tried to hide him in the dirt, in the earth. He must have tried to hide him, you know, thinking, okay, I'll just hide this, which I have done. But God saw it, didn't he? God knew what had happened. Very precisely and exactly. And the Lord said unto Cain, in verse 9 here in Genesis 4, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Now he lied about what he had done. Oh, he tried to conceal it. He tried to hide it. He tried to lie to God. I know not. And question, am I my brother's keeper? You know, am I supposed to worry about my brother? Oh, God said to him in verse 10, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Oh, yes, that blood has a cry. God hears it. Oh, yes, he knows what has happened. Oh, those cries of those aborted babies. Oh, those children that were murdered. Everything, oh yes, it has gone that way. God has seen. God has known. It cannot be hidden from God. And that blood cries out. It cries out from the ground. Oh yes. Oh, there is a cry that, oh, it cannot be changed. Not be unheard by the ears of Almighty God. Of course, there were consequences for what Cain did. There always are consequences for sin when they're not repented of. And so, as it tells us here in Psalms 9, verse 12, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. Oh, yes, all those wrongdoings. All those murderous, hateful acts that were done, all that blood that they tried to conceal, all the things that maybe weren't even brought to the light. God doesn't forget. Oh, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. That cry, the blood, oh yes, it surely does cry out. And God will avenge for it. Oh, yes, that day of his wrath will come. It will be avenged one moment or the other. Goes on to say in verse 13, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. Oh, yes, I'm sure David had been in those places many times where he could have died, you know, sickness or trouble or persecution, you know, the hatred of those people that opposed him, even sometimes his own family members, his own sons, all of those things that went so wrong. And here, yes, he's crying out for mercy. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. Oh, praise the Lord, how God has spared us, how he has helped us. You know, if you know, it hadn't been brought to my attention, that bulging tire, who knows? It maybe would have exploded. You know, we don't know. Very often how close we were, you know, to death, you know, great trouble, you know, things that could have gone far worse than they did. But oh, how our God helps us. Oh God, how our God picks us up, and oh, how he lifts us up. Oh, it takes us from those moments. It tells us in verse 14, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. And yes, that was the nature of King David. He had that heart that gave praise to the Lord. You know, he went through great trials. He went through great persecutions. Oh yes, there was trouble on every hand so very often. But he knew how to praise the Lord. He knew how to exalt the Lord. He knew how to rejoice in the salvation of the Lord. And he knew how God had delivered him time and time again, how God had set him free. And oh, yes, if God has lifted us up, oh, if he has taken us from that pit, to that terrible pit, oh, yes, oh, yes, the gates of hell, if he has delivered us, we have a reason, we have a cause to praise our God, oh, to thank our God, to rejoice in his salvation. Oh, it says in verse 15, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. And you know, it is so often. I know the 33rd chapter of Psalms, you know, it's recorded how God takes the enemy in their own devices, how he turns things around. Oh, how he does that. Verse 10 in Psalms 33, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He makes the devices of people of none effect. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, how God hears the cry of those that fear him. Oh, yes, those that cry out to him with a humble heart and turn from their wicked ways. Oh, yes, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. God allows that. Even in that seventh chapter, those verses there, verses 15 and 16, says he made a pit and digged it and has fallen into the ditch which he made. Yes, that's, you know, that's the plight of the enemy. Things aren't going to go well for you if you're rebelling against God. Oh, yes, if you've got a revengeful heart and, you know, you're full of hatred and all kinds of other negative emotions and things that are contrary. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's not going to go well for you. He made a pit and digged it and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. Oh yes, upon his head, his pate. It's all going to clobber him in the end. You don't get by those things that you've done in the secret places or, you know, those wicked things that you try to hide or conceal. Oh, no. God has seen them. God has known them. And they are going to be revealed. Besides, oh, God's going to turn everything around. Oh, yes. Yeah, there's going to be a pit. There's going to be a snare. There's going to be things. Oh, yes. That are going to turn the wicked to their own devices. And I sure don't want anything to do with such. I don't want, any such occurrences in my life. To you, I'm sure you don't. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord. God, in contrast, has such mercy for His people. That mercy is brought out in that 40th Psalm. We could read just a few verses here in Psalms 40. Another Psalm of David, it says in verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, God, how He takes us, oh yes, and brings us out of that wretched place that we all were once in. Oh, we were all fallen. Oh yes, we were all caught. Oh yes, in that realm of sin. But the Lord Jesus, oh yes, when we cried out to Him with all our hearts, oh, when we began to turn our life over to the living God, oh, how He brought us up out of that horrible pit, oh, that condemnation, oh yes, we were condemned, we were on the way to hell. But God had such mercy for us. He brought us also out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay. And what did He do? Oh, He took us out of that horrible place. And He set our feet upon a rock. And He established our goings. Oh, yes, He puts that song in our mouth, that song of praise unto our God. Oh, that song that we couldn't sing before because we were not yet redeemed. We did not yet know the Lord. We didn't have that option because it wasn't within us. But He puts that song of praise within our very being. Oh, yes, so that we can bring it out. Oh, yes, so that many shall see it. And fear and trust in the Lord. Oh, yes, that witness that comes forth because the light has shone into our hearts, into our life. Oh, yes, the Lord has changed us. He's turned our life around. We're no longer trapped in sin and walking in that way that would lead us to hell. But He brought us out and set our feet upon the rock. Rock Christ Jesus. He established our goings. Praise the Lord. Put that song in our mouth. Oh, praise the Lord, yes. Oh, we have a reason to give praise to the Lord. We do. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us here in Psalms 9, verse 16, the Lord is known by the judgment which He executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of His own hands. Hagayan, Selah. Oh, yes, those are like musical notations there, and Hegelian can indicate a moment to reflect, to meditate, where Selah means to pause. And, it is something to think about. The Lord is known by His judgment, and, God in His mercy often does send judgment. Oh, yes, so that those that are trapped in the ways of death, in the ways of sin, caught in that pit, can find their way out, can call on the living God so they can be delivered. And often He uses judgment to get their attention because, yes, the wicked is snared in the work of his own hands, his own devices, his own ways, his own contrariness, his own stubbornness, all those characteristics, they're a trap. how the devil uses people. He might, you know, make all these offers and make it sound so good. Oh, many there are that, you know, listen to the enticement of the devil. You know, you just do this for me. I'll make you a great notable singer. You know, I'll give you fame. I'll give you fortune. You know, I'll make your name known. Oh, so many people have fallen into that trap. That trap. That net, which, oh yes, their own foot fell into, their own fate, you could say. But it tells us in verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Oh, that day of His vengeance. That day when He's going to judge the world in righteousness. Oh, it is coming forth. It's, you know, it's in the making, even right now. That appointment that all have to stand before the living God. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And yes, as we read in the book of Revelation, oh yes, that is, you know, going to be converted, those that are not found in the book, into the lake of fire, which burneth forever. All the nations, all the people that forget God. But very contrasting here, it tells us in verse 18, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Oh yes, we go through times of testing. We go through trials. Oh yes, there may be moments when you wonder how in the world you're going to be delivered from a certain circumstance or whatever is on your plight. But God hears, God knows, God delivers. He's never late. Oh, He knows how to help us, how to succor us, how to make a way. Praise the Lord, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Oh yes, it might seem like it's down to the very last moment. But God knows how to turn everything around. Oh, and what a beautiful thought that is. What a wonder that is. It says in verse 19, arise, O Lord. Let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Oh, you know, it's the mercy of God that breaketh us to repentance. So many times, you know, as we just reread how sometimes God brings judgment, even with the hope that those that are in trouble will turn to Him and get right with God, that cry of repentance that needs to come forth. But it's God's amazing goodness that leads us to repentance. It tells us in Romans, the second chapter, verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. And it's talking about individuals that accuse others of things that are in their very own hearts. And it's talking about judgment that is not equal, that is not right, that is not according to God's righteous judgment. Well, sometimes, yes, people stand before the courts of this world, and sometimes there's a verdict that comes forth that isn't right. Oh, yes, there's innocent people that sometimes are accused of things they had nothing to do with. We know that, yes, man's judgment is so often wrong. But it tells us in verse 2, But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Again, our God has seen it all. He knows it all. His judgment is going to be precise and exact. Tells us in verse 3, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" You think you could cover this over? You know, this thing that you're doing in secret that, you know, many may not see? Oh, all the propaganda, all the devices of man, all the false media, all the declarations that are made that are completely false. All of those things that are declared that are not right, that are not according to God's righteous judgment. And that heart that will not surrender, that heart that will not give in. No, it's a beautiful thing. Oh, to see somebody to bend the knee and give the heart to the living God. Oh, you know, the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, it's a beautiful day. Oh, yes, with somebody who has been, you know, in a mess. Oh, maybe involved in drugs. Maybe involved in pornography. Oh, maybe in, you know, involved in robberies. Who knows? Just plain hating, you know, and full of other unrighteous thoughts. Oh, it's a beautiful thing when that heart turns over to God. Oh, when that conviction occurs and all the knees fall to the ground and the heart, is rent, you know, because, one sees themselves for what they are. Oh, it's the mercy of God. Oh, it's His great compassion that would help us to see that heart, you know, that heart that, you know, often, you know, tries to pretend, you know, it's another way, to hide, to conceal, you know, to defend things that are utterly wrong. But it says in verse 4 here in Romans 2, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Oh, we serve a God that stands at the door and knocks. Our God is patient. How long has He been standing there knocking at your heart's door? Oh, if you've not yet opened that heart's door. Oh, yes, as it tells us in Revelation, that third chapter, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Oh, there's God. There's His patience. That's His long-suffering, His forbearance, His goodness to stand there at the door of your heart and knock. Oh, urging you. How many times? How many times has He tried to get a hold of you? Oh, yes. "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Those are some of the most beautiful things I've ever witnessed in my life. When, oh yes, there was somebody that maybe ran to the altar, so to speak, the front of the church, or bent the knee of the pew and cried out, and unembarrassed, you know, just knowing that, you know, they had to get right with God. Oh, that wonderful cry of repentance. Oh, getting right with God. Oh, yes, so we can take that heart and change it and make a new life. Oh, praise the Lord. You don't want to despise the riches of God's goodness, His forbearance. Oh, yes, that toleration and patience that He has, His long suffering. Because it's His goodness that leads to repentance. Oh, it's His mercy. It's His compassion. Oh, that continual knocking at the heart's door. For there will be a time when it will be too late. It will be that moment, yes, that will happen when it's too late, when time is over. There's no longer that allowance given. Where the heart can be rendered, where the heart can be submitted to the living God. Oh, yes. Oh, you don't want to be in that condition. It tells us in verse 5 here in Romans 2. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Oh, and that's it. You know, it tells us just a few verses later in this chapter, verse 11, for there is no respect of persons with God. You know, it tells us, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Oh, he talks about that day in verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Yes, that day is forthcoming. That day when we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And how, oh yes, we want to hear Him say, well done. How we want to be judged righteous. But oh yes, as it tells us in Psalms that 9th chapter, the wicked shall be turned into hell in all the nations that forget God. But praise the Lord, the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Oh, as it tells us there in verse 9, the Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful privilege. Oh, what a wonderful day it was when we gave our lives to the Lord and turned things over to God. Oh, and He became that refuge for our soul, that hiding place. Oh, yes, when He turned things around and those sins that we had committed were given over to Him, the one who can forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, the mighty God. Oh, the one that makes a way that we can come to Him. Oh, yes, we can obey the command to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Oh, yes, so those sins, oh, yes, are gone. The penalty, the price, completely taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord with the promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's going to mean everything at that moment when we stand before God. Oh, that blood that cries out all the moments of vengeance as it will come to pass. But our God will be a refuge for those that lay a hold upon that hope that is set before us. Oh, yes. The wonderful promises of God, the wonderful mercy of God, the goodness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. Oh, I'm so thankful. Yes, our God is going to come to judge this world in righteousness. And praise the Lord, we have moments. We still have breath. We still have opportunity to turn our lives over to the living God. Oh, I pray that everyone, oh yes, that ever hears this message will be judged righteously, will be forgiven their sins and their trespasses. Oh yes, and be right in the sight of God as He prepares His throne for judgment. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for these moments that we have. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, that your arm is stretched out in mercy at this point. Oh, that we can still come to Thee, Lord, and give our lives to Thee, Lord. I pray that you would call. I pray, oh, Lord, that you would move. I pray that you would help us all, oh, Lord, to grow in Thee. And, oh, Lord, to never give up and to never turn around. Oh, Lord, to never forget what Thou hast done for us when you took us out of that terrible pit. and set our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord. Talk to us. Move in us. Change us, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that your will and your work would be done here tonight. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I don't always understand why I get these messages precisely, but I know that the Lord has a reason. And I'm so thankful. Oh, we'll forever be with the Lord when our hearts have been given over to Him. We've turned it all over to Him. Thank the Lord for these moments. Yes, thank God for these opportunities. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise our God. Amen. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to turn our chorus books to number 72 and sing "For He is Lord," number 72 in the chorus book. For He is Lord. He
Mm-hmm.